the delivery methods for NPR content are evolving with recent changes in technology. Hourly news, in-depth reporting, interviews. Some of the network's most popular shows, including podcasts, can now be heard through the NPR One app on most smartphones. And hello to those of you who are listening on NPR One. Some believe this represents how the majority of people will receive NPR content in the future, while still giving home to community stations like KCBX. Journeys of Discovery host Tom Wilmer sat down with one of the app's biggest champions at NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. recently. Here's that conversation. I'm Randall White.
KCBX is right here.
Here we go.
This is NPR.
Here we go.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from National Public Radio headquarters in Washington, D.C., and we're here with Sarah Sarasan. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
It's great for me. This is my first time in 25 years of doing my show.
Well, welcome to NPR. We've been in this building for a couple of years, and we're really settled in and psyched to have it going.
It's a beautiful facility. I was awestruck walking in the front door. You guys must be really happy here.
Yes, and it's really helped us grow a lot and sort of forge connections between different parts of NPR as we move forward. And I think that that's really cool, too, how our newsroom is right next to the software developers, and that's how we're working on NPR One.
That's why I wanted to talk to you. I mentioned to people in my travels, I go, NPR One, and they get this glazed over, huh, look. And yet, talking with Randall White, the news director of KCBX, the other day, he said this is likely the future of NPR radio. So we're right in the birthing stage, aren't we?
Yes. What I like to say is we've been making radio for decades and NPR One for months. It is not fully formed yet. We're still figuring out what it can be. Something that's really exciting is that we can learn from our audience. We try things and we see how people respond and how they listen, and we can kind of follow their lead to develop it.
Okay, let's see. I know nothing. What is NPR One? It's like internet radio?
NPR One is like the radio, but better because it's 2015. In this digital listening space, the really big player is Pandora. And that creates an expectation in the audience, not just that they hear things digitally, but that they can skip if they run into something they don't like, and that it gets to know them and does some personalization for them too. And so it takes those two ideas, that there's going to be some personalization and that you can skip if you hear something you don't like, and it applies it to the public radio programs and stories that people really love.
How does NPR One decide which stories are best to play for me?
Right. Well, actually, there is a person, we have a producer, his name is Viet Le, and he listens to all of the stories and decides it's this kind of story or it's that kind of story. And that human curation part of it is part of the public radio value that we think we're building into every part of NPR One. So Viet categorizes pieces, and then the computer sort of joins him in figuring out which ones go to you.
Okay, how does an individual station like KCBX participate in NPR One? And is there a benefit for the local community stations?
There are places in our flow where you hear local news, local news features and stories. You can find a lot of local station podcasts when you search for them in NPR One also. And you can change your station. What happens is the very first time you turn on the app is it figures out where you are and what the closest station is to you. And sometimes you want to change that. Or, you know, Frank Langfitt, he is our correspondent in Shanghai. He's in Shanghai. As soon as he turned on NPR One, he made it localized to WAMU in Washington, D.C. because he wanted to stay in touch with what was going on in Washington.
Wow. Felt like he was home.
Yes. Like a lot of people I hear from do that is they really want to – they're overseas and they want to stay in touch with home. And so they localize to a station where they lived when they were in the U.S.
Randall White asked me to ask you, will NPR One ever offer a live streaming option so that if users want to switch over to the live feed, they can?
We have talked about that a lot because that does come up. And there will be times when we want to point people to something live in the future, we think. And we're still, like I said, we've only been making NPR One for months, and we're still figuring out exactly how those things will fit together. You know, you can get live streams of most of the stations that stream out of the NPR News app, and so that's there. And we're still kind of figuring out how all that stuff's going to fit together.
And what is the process that you're using to get your pulse beat to do your analytics? How do you figure out?
Oh, so we know what listener behavior is around everything they listen to in NPR One, the stories, the podcasts. We could tell if they listened to a little bit and skipped, if they listened to most of it and then they turned it off, if they listened all the way through, if they shared it with a friend. And by seeing the pieces that people respond to, the ones that they sort of, we have a mark interesting button that where they hit that button a lot or they shared it a lot, we can say, oh, that's something that really appeals to a lot of people. If something gets skipped a lot very early, we think, oh, maybe that's a topic that people aren't that interested in. We can get all of these signals from the listeners, but we're still learning how to interpret them. And to me, as a radio producer and editor, that's a really exciting thing because for 20 years of my career, I said, you know, do this or don't do that, or let's say it this way, or let's use this piece of tape based on taste and some journalistic judgment and what I thought the audience would like. But now we can have this window into what the audience responds to, the kind of thing that they really stick around to listen to for a long time, or if they kind of get bored and want to hear something else.
Going forward, in your mind, I know this is a work in progress, but just visualizing, in what ways and how do you think we can ramp up that awareness of NPR One?
Well, I mean, the way that most people find mobile apps and podcasts and radio stations that they like is they hear about them from someone they know and trust. And I think that that is going to be a huge part of the way that the word spreads about NPR One, is we make something that people love and they tell other people about it.
And maybe in the way that here I am at NPR headquarters and what we're talking about, it will air in Central Coast of California. So I'm doing my little service to get the word out. And as I'm saying that, I'm going, gee, what if every NPR affiliate in America did some sort of promotional acknowledgement and push just the existence of NPR One and then talk about who it's for and what? Isn't that a great way to do it?
That would be amazing, because here's the thing. Local is really, really important to NPR One, right? As a public radio system, we've always known that, but now we have data that supports it. Listeners who hear a local newscast come back to NPR One more often.
So it's that perfect marriage is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. And there are lots of stations that are putting their local news and their local features and their local podcasts into NPR One. And there are some that aren't, or they're trying to figure out how to do it because it can be technically complicated. And so as more people hear more local, I think that that is a great way to really bring people in. I also think that it's a big differentiator for NPR One and a lot of other ways that you can get news in a mobile app. You know, if you go to the New York Times app, they don't have local news in it, right? Mm-hmm. The CNN, they don't have local news.
That's a great point.
Right. And so what's really unique about NPR One is the mix of local and national and news and culture and storytelling, because it's not just a news app. We have amazing public radio shows like TED Radio Hour and Snap Judgment and Ask Me Another, and, you know, and going deep into the catalog, into the well of what's available in public radio. The thing that we try to think about all the time on the NPR One team is, how are we going to play you something you love? And that is a very sort of amorphous challenge for something as specific as technology. And that is really how we want to do this. We want to take all of the smart, fast technology and marry it with the storytelling, news gathering, eye-opening kinds of work that we've done on public radio for a really long time. We want to meet listeners where they are. And increasingly, where you are is with your phone in your hand. And that's where this is. A way that people don't, sometimes they're a little confused by NPR One because it's so unique. Because you turn it on and you listen to it. There are some buttons, and you can push them if you want to, but you don't have to. Mostly, you just turn it on and listen. Like I said, it's radio, but better. And that's what it is. You listen to it.
So you basically download the app, mm-hmm. right? As simple as that.
Right.
And then, boom, you go.
Right. You download the app, and you listen to it. Like I said, you can search for things if you want or skip if you want, but really, you listen to it. I mean, the way that I think about it is that people have been telling each other stories in their ears as long as we have been people. And that is part of our essential humanness, and it will never go away, no matter what the technology is that delivers it. And what we're trying to do is take that basic human need and desire and satisfy it a way that we have only just begun to be able to because we have this incredible mobile technology in our hands now.
Going forward, it has to ultimately at some point become an economically viable undertaking or you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that for a moment.
Sure. Actually, I think that this is the place in NPR One that is the least developed now but has the most opportunity for innovation and growth. Right now, you know, the funding model looks very much like it does on the radio. We have underwriting from corporations and also from foundations. And we have a pledge message where we ask the listener to, you know, join their local station, which is, you know, the same way that it works on the radio. I think that we can do those, and we are beginning to experiment with doing those in a much smarter and savvier way. You know, something we might try is to say, you've been listening for 100 hours. It's time to donate, right? And once you've donated, maybe we don't ask you anymore. So I think that there's a lot of things that we could be trying there and things that we have plans for that we're just starting to figure out the best way to do it. So just as we're learning from our audience the best way to give them stories that they're going to love every time they come back, we are going to learn from our audience the best way to pull them in closer to our local public radio stations.
And again, back to Randall White's other question, is NPR One conceptually the future of radio and the future of NPR?
I think so. I wouldn't have walked away from one of the best editing jobs at NPR to work on NPR One if I didn't think that.
And why?
Why do I think that it's the future? Because it takes the thing that we do uniquely well, which is to give people stories in their ears that broaden their worldview, introduce them to people who they hadn't normally met, we disseminate ideas out into the culture, we have fun. All those things that we do on the radio, we do them in this new space, and we can do it a little bit better because we have the technology to do things like skipping and personalization.
That's really cool. I like the skipping. I'm jumping forward.
People like that a lot. I mean, you know, what I think is interesting is when we do surveys or talk to people, they really like the ability to skip, but actually people don't skip that much. You know?
You think some people don't know that that's a viable option?
I think they do. I think that most of our listeners skip at one point or another, but often they'll come and they won't skip, which is great. It means that we're partway to our goal of, you know, being able to deliver podcasts and programs and news that people really want to hear. I mean, what we want is we want for people to think, you know, I have a few minutes. You know, I want to hear something. I'm going to listen to NPR and turn it on. And every time they turn it on, we have something special just for them.
Could I, on demand on NPR, let's say I love Ira Glass, and
mm-hmm.
can I just push the button and listen to him?
You can search for him,
mm-hmm.
and we're still working on our personalization algorithms, but we have developed this idea that for podcasts especially, most podcast apps are 10 years old and they're kind of broken. You know, they kind of work, but what they are is they're really technologist solutions to technology problems. You subscribe or you unsubscribe, right? It's on or it's off. It's a binary. It's technology. But that's not how you feel about your shows, right? You have a few you love and a bunch you would listen to, and there are a whole bunch of other that, you know, you would like if you got exposed to them, and there are a few you hate.
When you mentioned podcasts, are you talking within the umbrella of NPR's podcast directory, or is it a broader net?
We have a lot of podcasts in NPR One, and we're bringing in more all the time. We're working with member stations to promote some of their local podcasts nationally. So there's a lot of stuff in there, and we're sort of always bringing in more.
It seems to me one of the problems in our new digital world is time and available time. And shorter is sweeter often, isn't it?
You mean people would rather listen to something short than something long?
Yeah. Although, I mean, Ira Glass said, you know, my drop-off in an hour show is minimal. You know, so I do know that you can have that retention on an hour-long show. But just like a YouTube, the ones that are 2-3 minutes long get a lot greater pickup than the longer ones.
You know, I think that sort of that's a trend, but I don't think that it's a truth.
So long form is not dead.
Absolutely not. I mean, we have short pieces that people skip a lot, and we have long pieces that people really stay with. One thing that we have found to be really interesting is that there is a real appetite for long-form documentary investigative reporting in NPR One. Things that are too long to go on the radio shows can do really well in NPR One. Do they all do really well? No, they don't. Some do and some don't, but there is a real appetite for them.
That's really cool because, as you guys probably hear, people love All Things Considered Evening Edition because, relatively, in our world, it's long form. And now you're saying we're going deeper and longer. This is cool.
Yes. I mean, people like short. That's true. But there is also an appetite for long. And I think that that is something that is going to be really interesting to us to go forward. I don't think that it means that we can make pieces that are really, really long and we don't cut them down because we just really want to talk for a really long time. Like,
right.
Robert Smith at Planet Money says you have to edit the podcast even more tightly than you do the radio story because people can just stop listening to the podcast or they can skip it in NPR One. So the presence of the skip button actually means that if you have a long thing, it has to be tight.
Right. So it's like the hook on the stage back in the old days. If you lose them for a minute, you're done.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is you want people to listen to your work if you make radio. And if you listen to radio, you want value for the time you put in. And traditionally, public radio has given that to people. And we have to make sure that we continue to do that.
Sarah Son, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It's my pleasure and honor. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. for KCBX Public Radio, serving the California Central Coast.
KCBX is right here.
Here we go.
This is NPR.
Here we go.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,